You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
In your Bibles today, we're in the book of Ezra chapter 9. We'll approach this message several different ways this morning. First of all, I want us to read much of it while I'll make some comments about the text. Then secondly, I'd like to give you a long introduction. And then thirdly, a brief message. But I believe it's a pivotal moment in America's history. As we look at chapter number 9, Ezra is dealing with the condition of God's people. I want you to see the condition. I'll read verse 1. If you'll read verse 2, I'll read verse 3. You read verse 4. Here's the condition of this remnant. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites." Verse 2. "For they have
taken up their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the Holy City and the people themselves.
Verse 3 says, "And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle. I plucked off the hair of my head and my beard, and I sat astonished." That's in bewilderment. I was just shocked at the condition of our country. Verse 4.
"Then were assembled unto me, and everyone that trembled at the words of the prophet Isaiah, because of the transgression of the Lord's people, and
Verse 10 and 11 speaks of the fact that this condition was awful. "And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded thy servants and the prophets, saying, The land in which ye go to possess it is unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness." This was a nation, a people, a country where they're going that was wicked. America has turned her back on God. We've seen it especially in the last 4 years. But it's been about the last 70 years we've turned our back. I can recall an elementary school over here, 15 minutes from here, in the 50s, always every day having prayer for our snack. Crackers and graham crackers, and we also had milk from the Cloverdale Creamery. Every day we had prayer. Every day we saluted that flag. Every day, I can remember it as an elementary boy. I can remember in junior high when the principal came and said to us, our president, John F. Kennedy, 1963, was just shot in Dallas. We don't know all about it, but school be dismissed. But before we're dismissed, I'm going to ask every school teacher to have public school, Centerville Junior High School. And I want you all to have prayer for our nation and for Mrs. Kennedy and the family and for our president. I got home and later that day began to fold my papers. And of course, by then we had found out he had been shot and killed. It's a very sad day. I remember when the principal came and the fellows, we were astonished, bewildered. Girls in junior high began to weep and cry. It was an awful day in America's history. I can recall those events when we would pray in our school. I can recall at Washington High School that when there were some great needs, we would pray as a school. I can remember every day all my school career, public school, never heard of a Christian school, public school, elementary, junior high, high school, 15 minutes, we saluted that flag every single day. I remember two boys came in 1968 to high school, and their hair was just touching the brim. 2,500 young people in our class, just touching the brim of their ear. Just touching it. The principal said, I want you to, and he called the name. I know the name right now. I could call it. Well, you boys come to my office right now on the speaker, and they came. And he said, you go home and get a haircut. Don't come back to get your haircut. Public school. We have the yearbooks, again, my sister, but the yearbooks, our cheerleaders, public school had dresses down below the knee. Getting quiet in here now. I'm not talking about Christian school. That'd be pretty good in Christian school nowadays. I'm talking about public school. The condition of this country was very poor. The condition of America, we have blasphemed God. I've been barely silent on the election for weeks and for months, and I feel like you don't come to church to have me preach about the newspaper. But I've not been silent about the position of this church, a biblical position. We believe in the home, male, female, children, son, and daughter, not transgenderism. Everybody's welcome. Sodomites can come to this church. Or, well, I'll shake your hand. I'll be kind to you. I saw a family call me, said, our boy is dying. He's a homosexual. Will you go see him? Sure, I went to see him. Tried to lead him to Christ. And I talked to him, and I had prayer with him. And I was sincere in my desire. I'm not going to be mean to anybody. But there's a position that we hold. It's a Bible position. God created male and female, created he them. That's what God did. It's blasphemy to redefine 67 different genders. Nonsense. Sin. Blasphemy. I'll tell you what, you've heard me say it from this pulpit, a Bible position, we are pro-Israel. Because Genesis 12, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curseth thee. We're for Israel. I'll tell you what else we're for. We're for life. Jesus is life, and our Constitution says regarding life, life, number one, liberty, secondly, and the pursuit of happiness. We don't believe that a baby should ever be slaughtered. Last week, if you were missing, I was very gracious to abortion. Every sin is error. All sin, God forgives. And I preached last week on the shame and the guilt. I don't want to put shame and guilt on people. You had an abortion. If you were here last week, you'd have heard the message. But abortion's wrong. In addition, we believe biblically of national safety. Read the Bible. God declares there's borders at Egypt and the Philistines and Lebanon and Canaan and Israel and the kings of the north. He lays out boundaries, and you're to protect that boundary. No, look, my family came from Germany. My wife's family came from Sweden. God, they spoke German. They spoke Swedish. Thank God for all that. But they came legally. How can you be, how far have we gone to say you can be illegal and vote in our system? Mr. Newsom, I hope you're listening. Shame on you. I'm going to get where I'm going. I'm not even in my introduction, but we'll get there. This was I think it's biblically, wasting money is wrong. And America's throwing money down a rat hole. We waste money. Trying to teach new genders to kids in school, and try to teach new Eastern religions in school. Oh my goodness, it's wrong. Now, wait a minute, there's a condition here. I see something else, and it's not my message, but I thought I'd throw this in for free today. I see the confession. When we know we're wrong, we need to confess. I've confessed some things to God this week because I'm renewed in my heart for the next 4 years. So I thought he was getting ready to quit. I'm here to torment you as long as I can. Verse 5, and at evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness. Remember, he was astonished, he was in bewilderment. I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell on my what? And I spread out my hands to the Lord my God, and I said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities, this sounds like our country, have trespassed over our head, and our trespass have grown up to the heaven. Since the days of our fathers, we have been in great trespass. He's confessing. We've been wrong. Not only do I see in this text a condition, and I see a confession, I see there are some consequences when we don't do right. Verse 14, should we again break thy commandments and join to affinity with the people of these abominations? God's people should not join with anybody that has a desire for abomination toward God. Would thou not be angry with us so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? You see, when we begin to embrace non-biblical positions, we destroy ourselves. Oh, Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. God says, Ezra said, there's going to be consequences if we don't get right. I missed purposely the center verse. There's 15 verses. The center verse is where we are today in America. Pastors, we have been given, and the pastors in our auditorium, our staff and around, we have been given a window of grace. Ronald Reagan was running for president. He was running against Walter Mondale from Minnesota. The night before, the pollsters and the news people said this in the 80s. They said, it looks like Mondale's going to win by a landslide. They went on to say, it looks like Mr. Reagan's not going to win. The next day when the election was held, and by the way, we got all the results that day. Are you listening, Governor? Got all the results that day. I know why you're procrastinating, because you got to figure out how many you're going to get in the Democrat Party. Hold on, don't get mad at me yet. It'll be okay. I'll get a word in the Bible here. Just wait a minute. Don't get mad. And I'm not saying that Mr. Trump and that whole crowd's the answer. Mr. Reagan won 49 states the next day. They lied to us. The only state they got was Minnesota for Mr. Mondale. Sounds similar to 2024. I tell you what, Brother Brian, our country is bleeding red. California, I've said it my entire ministry, California is a very conservative state. It's just the San Francisco Bay Area and Los Angeles that kills us. Illinois, my wife's home state, is very conservative, but not Chicago. That's why you have an electoral college. If you did not have an electoral college, Philadelphia and New York in the early days of our country would have run the country. But God wants, our Constitution wants that all people have a voice. I told you I missed the middle verse. The middle verse, I see that there is condition here, and I see there's a confession here. I see there's consequences of rebelling. But verse 8 is the compassion of God. Would you read with me, please? Would you read this text, verse number 8, the middle verse of the chapter? Ready? Begin. And now, for a little see, in our homes, Ms. Treber, in our class with the couples today, she was speaking to them, and we were at our class together. She is so incredible because she said, "Men, it's time to man up and be a man." And our class loved it today. It was like a comedy show. I think we had a great time with those young couples. But I'm telling you something, men, it's time. You've been given, you're the head of the house. You're not the brains of the house. Women are smarter than men. But a man is the head of the house, means he sets a direction. I think a husband and wife ought to talk together, all that business. But men, ultimately, you set a direction. That's your job. Are you going to go to Sunday school? Are you going to go to church? You're going to tithe? You're going to be part of God's? You're going to give an account, fellas. I'm going to give an account of this church. You are responsible for your home. By the way, ladies, the Bible says you are to guide the home. Why? Because daddy, most of the time that goes by, he went to work and mama stayed and guided though. You are to set that. Dad sets a direction. Mama guides in that home. Dad doesn't leave and mom says, "Okay, dad's gone. Let's do this now." No, we're in one accord. Two shall become not seven. Two become one. Children, you have a job. I'm talking about you young adult children that high school kids still and college age kids. That you say, "Well, I don't need the old man. I don't need the old lady. I don't need Christianity. I don't need my old." You got all these things you're always upset about. Why don't you learn first to start to obey? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You'll be done with them soon. They'll be dead and gone. You'll bury them. You'll be on your own. Though my parents have been gone for years and my wife's parents have been gone, I tell you what, I live my life with the philosophy and with the influence that my dad and my mother instilled in my life. Maybe that's why I'm still married to the same lady. 52 years next month. Daddy never spoke, my father never spoke unkindly to my wife, my mother. Always treated her with respect. Always treated her as an equal. Are you kidding? No, she's not an equal. My dad treated my mother like the queen bee, above an equal. So, well, we're going to do well. He'll treat me well. I'll treat him well. It doesn't work that way. You just do your part every time. And children, your part, husbands, lead. You're the head. Wives, submit. That's the Bible. Children, obey. You will have a life of chaos. You start to rebel against your mom and dad. This business, I won't talk to my parents. I don't know where you get that stuff. I won't call my parents. It's Thanksgiving. I haven't talked to my parents in 3 years. I'm not going to talk. I don't know where we get that stuff. That's not Bible. And you parents, if your kid's trying to get back with in touch with you, let them get in touch with you. Well, I want them to crawl for a while. What kind of parent would do that? But as a family has responsibility, our president has a responsibility. And he just told you, almost sounds like an independent fundamental Baptist preacher, and he's far from it. His mouth needs to get cleaned up. But he didn't, there was no surprises on Tuesday. He didn't say, "Well, I don't know what I am, but just vote for me." Guy's kind of blunt. You see that video he put out, he goes, "This is what you call a King James Bible. This is what we need in America." His first decision was, we're going to have Christianity have a path to the Oval Office. Because this is a Christian nation. Three times the Supreme Court has labeled it a Christian nation, one nation under God. And they said, the problem with a society that doesn't want God, they bring destruction upon themselves. Right. The video he put out said, "I do not believe in transgenderism, and we are not going to fund these surgeries to mutilate the bodies of children, and we're not going to pay for them as a government." That's a good president. Amen. He said, "Well, just you right-wing conservatives." Hey, they said as many as 45 million evangelicals, they call us Christians, we're not going to vote. We probably messed the thing up. But our Hispanics voted. Why? Because the Hispanics generally believe in the home. Saved and unsaved. Women voted for them. Why? Because they have a brain. Oh, ethnic groups vote for them. I untied my shoe. How does this happen? Drive me crazy. I'm tripping all over it here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Got it done. That's a record right there. But as a family has responsibilities, and as a president has responsibilities, he's got to protect that border. He's got to make sure we have money to pay the bills. I have a responsibility. The Bible calls me a pastor, which is the word, Greek word, keruk, which means shepherd. That's why a pastor is called a shepherd. Shepherds don't say, hey, sheep, what do you want to do? I'll go where you want me to go. No, a shepherd protects, you know, the first Peter 5, 1 through 5, the great chief shepherd is Jesus Christ, but verse 4 says the little shepherd is me. It's, dictatorial. I don't want to be dictatorial over your life. But I am going to use this pulpit to set a direction for this church. Whether you go that way, that's up to you. Say, well, I don't believe in all that he believes. You don't have to believe it, but I have to believe what I believe. And there's no surprise, 50 plus years ago, before I ever got here, 49 years ago, I wrote down what I believe. And when we saw that first Sunday night, 22 people, I gave it to them, said, this is what I'm going to preach. This is what I believe. We will add to this like amendments, but we will never take away from this. This is the founding document. We believe eternal security. We believe in the King James Bible. We believe in biblical separation. I spell it out right there. We believe in soul winning. We believe in separation. We believe in holiness and purity. Here's where we're going to go. And if you're going to be a teacher or a servant of God in this church, you're going to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, tithe. Now, you say, well, I don't want to do all that. Well, then just come to church. But if you want to sing in the choir, you're going to do it the way the direction of this church is set. So I don't believe that. Say, you're a dictator. No, I'm not a dictator. I've told you up front what we believe. And so, and you don't like believing, then you go online and trash it. You can do whatever you want. It's not going to change me. I like the man. The man was shot at twice, once, and then a gun in the other time. All these accusations, all these criminal offenses, and all these courtrooms, and all this Russian collusion that never happened. All these things. Hey, hold it. It'll be okay, folks. Don't have the big one yet. The man never wavered. No, I don't like everything about, I don't like, this faith-based thing has a woman preacher in it. I'm not for that. But at least she's trying to do something. And apparently, if you looked at the map, the counties of the nation, including the liberal states and all liberal states, went with them. The man told us what he believed. So today, as I come to you, the Bible says on my message of the morning, and now for a little space, grace. I will speak to you in these closing moments on a space of grace. You see, I heard the lady say a week ago Saturday that she's not for Christianity. Things could have been different, Colonel, this week. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, was here in this pulpit a couple years ago, and I found out he's not going to put him back on. I wish he would. I like him. He's a fifth grade boy Sunday school teacher before he went to the White House. I like the guy. But whatever he does, I'm not going to say that's my cult leader. He's no cult leader. He's my leader. We used to have in America respect for the office. But God has given the, it seems like in our government, a window of space. See, it's going to get all over. We're all going to be kumbaya. We will if you that don't believe this way come our way, yes. But I'm not going your way. I don't believe your way of all these policies the last 4 years is going to destroy this country. I said, man, I've been coming to this church 2 years. I've never heard you talk about politics at all. I'm talking about it. There's a space of grace. Why, Brother Morris, why God gave it to us, I don't know. Other than the fact, I know this church. And every Wednesday night, how we've been kneeling in prayer, and Saturday night at men's prayer, and how all your little families and little children have been praying, and teenagers have been praying, and not just this church, but churches all over America and Christians all over America, they've been praying. God answered prayer. There's a window of space. Whatever he does these next 4 years, he's just got a window. He can't run again. And next time it may flip back over here because that's how the pendulum normally sweeps. But there's a window of grace.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know what he's going to do, but I know what we're going to do.
Amen. Amen.
I've got a window of grace. Next 4 years, if the Lord lets me tarry and if the church allows me to stay here, I begin to lose my mind and forget this guy's name is Fred. This name's guy's John, and this guy's, no, you are John. And Bob, see, I've lost my mind already. I'm not going to be a hardship on this church. I promise you that. But I'm younger than the president. I mean, feel that, Brother Martinez. Just stand up there and feel that. Feel that. Feel that. It hangs right down here. It just hangs down. It's supposed to be up here, but mine's down here. There's too much to do. I'm too vested in my wife and I both, in your children, in your marriages, in your family, and the little kids, the little babies that have been born, so many in the last several weeks in our church. I'm invested in the elderly people in this church and the shut-ins in this church.
Amen.
There's too much to do. There's too many people to win. There's too many Raymonds. There's too many people that are drug addicts that need this church and alcoholics that need this church and homes that are falling apart that need this church. There's more responsibility. And God has given me and this staff and our church a window of grace. So when's he going to back off? Not now. Look at that verse and I'll be done. I told you I'd be fast. Now for a little space of grace. Little space hath been showed from the Lord our God. Who gave us this grace? God did. Pastors. And I'm not your leader. I'm not the boss of your life. But I will say this, there's at least 100 countries watching right now in every state. We almost lost America because of preachers. We build these beautiful buildings across America. Some little white clapboard churches, some that can seat 70 people, some that can seat 7,000. We build these churches, and then we shut the lights off on Sunday night. And it's dark as can be on a Sunday night. I'm glad over here we didn't have lights going, but we had lanterns in our auditorium. And that night, 1956, I got saved on a Sunday night. Pastors, right now, we need to open the churches back up on Sunday. We've had more churches close on Sunday night than those that have opened on Sunday nights. We're averaging over 5,000. We're averaging over 5,000 churches in America, between 5,000 and 10,000, they say, closing every year. And 1,400 preachers are leaving the ministry a month. Something's wrong, preacher. Get the church back open. Open it up on Sunday night. Open it up on Wednesday night prayer meeting. Amen.
Amen.
Get the choir back and stop the praise group. Get the hymn book back. A mighty fortress is our God. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. And can it be, it is well with my soul. How great thou art. Get the hymn book back in the church. Not this, I praise you, Lord, I praise you, Lord, praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. It's not even rhythmic, it's whiny, it's sad, it's depressing. Get the hand, can it be that I should Preachers, get back to preaching. Yeah. Well, it's like a seminar. You want to go to a seminar? Go to Marriott Hotel and have a seminar on the weekend. We want a seminar, go to some, but you don't go to church for a seminar. You get a leather lung preacher says, thus saith the Lord. God did this. God did this. God, it's His grace. That's what it says right here. He said, this little space, grace, what? It's been shown to us by the Lord. Two, we're still a remnant. We're not the majority. We're still a remnant. This place is 3,000 seat auditorium and our other buildings. We got a lot of people here today, but still a remnant. Number three, I find in this text, and now for a little space, grace has been showed us to leave us a remnant to escape. Here it is. And give us a nail in His holy place. The house of God's important. Number four, that He may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. A little reviving. A preacher texted me. I want to say it was before the election. Maybe it was the election. But he says, perhaps we're being set up for a great revival. A returning to God. And here's why I've been preaching that for years. But I tell you why. Because the next event on God's prophetic timetable is the rapture of the church. When Christians go to heaven, and then what takes place immediately is the tribulation on planet Earth. And there'll be a bloodshed like this world over the next 7 years, and government control like this world has never seen. And if you have heard salvation, you will not get saved. Because the Bible says you'll be sent into strong delusion. And you will miss heaven and will go through the tribulation and gnawing of their tongues, and they'll cry out, the rocks may follow us because of the bloodshed and because of the famine, because of the thirst, and the waters turn to blood and pollute it, and all that's going to take place, and the earthquakes and the fires and the lightnings and all that's going to take place for 7 years. On planet Earth, because God's going to judge. But God's given us a little place right now, maybe 4 years, maybe less, where we can win the lost to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because our Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I wonder, Brother Langston, if God's given us just one more window to try to get as many in as possible. I wonder about your dad. We got a father passing away here today, looks like. I wonder about your dad. We had a brother pass away 58 years of age this week in our church. I wonder about your loved ones. Are they in? Are they saved? Does your dad know Jesus Christ? Is he going to heaven? Does your mama know Christ? Your grandparents, are they saved? I crisscrossed this country preaching. I'm always here on Wednesday night, and I'm here every Sunday, but I'll go for a day or two, and I'll fly to Virginia, I'll fly to North Carolina, I'll fly to Pennsylvania, and I'll go back and forth. I'm always back on Wednesday. And I ask people, I said, everywhere I go, I said, your pastor's given me permission. If you have a prayer request, just write it on the back of an offering envelope or anything. I'll never write you, I'll never put you on a mailing list. I don't even need to know how to get on. I won't get in touch with you. But if you have a prayer request, I promise you, I'll pray every day with you for 30 days. You know what all their prayer requests are? About family. My son is away from God. My son, we haven't heard from our daughters in 7 years. You pray for my son. He grew up in Christian school. He's an alcoholic. You pray for my daughter. She grew up in a Christian school. She's a drug addict. You pray for my grandson. He's in prison. You pray if you will. It's amazing the sorrow. Pray for my wife. She quit on God. I have more ladies on my backslidden prayer list, and I pray for either they're getting right with God or getting saved. And there are many that I know that I don't believe even have any knowledge of Jesus Christ. Friend, why would you miss heaven? I have my pride. I'm going to do it my way. Self, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes always brings destruction. So I'm not promoting Republicans or Democrats today. I'm promoting an agenda of getting back to righteousness. And whatever the government does, and whatever the religious crowd does, that's up to them. But as far as this place here, we're going to preach from that Bible and try to bring a nation back to God with Christians and win the lost to Jesus Christ. My question, are you saved? The rapture happens today. Would you go to heaven or hell, or don't you know? I'm not asking you to clean your life up. Get drug free. We've got drugs, undoubtedly. People in this, every service, we always have drug addicts, folks that come. God bless you for coming. We want you here. Alcoholics, you're suffering with that drink, and that drink has a hold. We want you here. People that don't measure up to the whatever you think, here, this is how I've got to dress, this is how I've got to look. No, you're fine. Just keep coming. I'm not regulating all that. I'm telling you this. If you don't know Christ, do not know Christ as your Savior, you're going to be left behind. And it'll be too late. Are you saved? And then, Christian, I've already knelt so many times this week, and I've repledged. I've actually, I don't believe in a lot of vows. I don't think I've had more than 5 or 6 vows in my life, because Ecclesiastes says you make a vow and you don't keep it, it'd be better had you not made it. I've made a vow this week before God. I'll never tell anybody about it. Just made a vow before God, between me and God. And I'm going to keep that vow. I'm going to make some more vows regarding what I'm going to do as a pastor for this church and for this area more than ever. Because it is a critical moment for your children and for your family.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.